have some benefit from vectorization of code. Why have we not used it so far? I mean, I'm going to claim that it's one of the best things PolyC has. Why hasn't it been used more? If it can be integrated into Linux, what are the ways to do it? What is Debian's role in this effort? I mean, okay, this is a DebConf, and I'm doing an alternative presentation. There must be a connection. How can we use Debian, and how can we benefit from it? And some coding examples. Actually, I'm going to skip the presentation and show you the code and the benchmarks directly. So, I don't know, basically this was an introduction. Is there anyone who doesn't know what Altivec is, or what CMD is?
I know it's a sim thing, but I know very little about it.
Okay, basically, CMD units don't really enable you to do things faster, but they enable you to do more things at the same amount of time. They process more data with the same instruction. CMD stands for single instruction, multiple data. It's the same, in theory, it's the same unit as MMX or SSC2, 3DNOW. They enable you, they don't make the processor run faster, but they enable the processor to process more data at the same amount of time. So, it is acknowledged worldwide to be the most complete CMD implementation, Altivec that is. It doesn't, it is consistent, it enables the programmer to write code, Altivec code, in C, and not just assembly language as needed by other CMD units like SSC or LMX. One of the nice features that I really like, and Sven insisted that I actually stress this point, compared to other units, other implementation, Altivec gives three operands to every instruction, and the result is kept in another register, which means that basically you can have you don't need to reuse registers all the time like you use in other implementations. For example, to do addition in MMX or SSC, you have to place the result of the addition in one of the registers of the operands, which means you cannot really. If you need the first result, you have to reload it again the next time. So, where can it be used? Power consumption is something that is more important, of more importance the more we go into the embedded market. And personally, I would like to see the G4 and G5, well, not really G5, but the G4 processor to go more into embedded markets, because it is comparatively low consumption. It's just about 10 to 15 watts. Where to find a similar performance CPU that offers a vector unit like Altivec, you would have to go to a Pentium 4 or AMD 64 CPU, which is just out of the question for the embedded market. Where else? Yeah, there are some cases where it is not really enough to just put more processing power in terms of higher clock speeds. You have to find another way to do it. For example, you cannot really depend on higher clock speeds to do encoding, video encoding, especially real-time video encoding, and when you have to do it with custom hardware. Security is one of the sections that you can use virtualization. You can find, I have written a paper about this, not exactly this one, the whole security section, but I proved that it's possible to vectorize some hashing algorithms and some encryption algorithms. Of course, there will be more before me. And giving quite good performance. I'm going to give some numbers afterwards. Peter Codex, scientific computing, linear algebra is one of the favorite benchmarks of Apple to show Altivec power. And what is not really apparent is that you could use Altivec for generic computing. I mean, mostly Altivec has been used, or for that matter, everything, all other SIMD implementations have been used for video or other applications. They have not really been used for generic computing. It's not really apparent that you can use it for generic computing, but you can, as we will show. So this is a small, a nice animation I found from Ars Technica. It basically explains how the SIMD approach works. This is a scalar. This method is a scalar code. It just processes one unit at a time. You will immediately recognize that this is a simple for loop. You have an array of objects. Just loop over every object and try to process it. This is the SIMD approach. You do the same operation, but on multiple sets of data. And this is one way to do it. Right, so let's say, is there a pointer or a stick or something? Never mind, I'm done. Basically, you have two arrays, A and B, of size n. And you want to put the result of the addition in this in the second, the third array. So, using plain C, what do? You just loop over elements and add each element. Now, to do that with another SIMD implementation, you would have to meddle with assembly code. But with Altivec, it's not really necessary. Actually, it's not even encouraged unless you're after 100% performance. You just have to write the equivalent C code using Altivec extensions, which are included in the C, courtesy of Apple, and Freescale. And so you basically, just as before, you create two, you have two arrays, A and B, and you want to put the result in the vector result. So you just run the corresponding command, vector add, vector A, vector B. And you loop over each element, but there's a difference. The first loop does n iterations. The second loop does n over 4 iterations. It's, if you have to do integers, with 32-bit integers. If you have to do with 8-bit integers, with characters, this number is 16. Basically, you process 16 bytes at a time, which, as you will see, it offers great performance. Right, why hasn't it been used so far? It is actually used in macOS 10. Apple has really done quite a good job in writing specially optimized routines for that matter. But the thing is that it needs quite extensive knowledge of the subject to really benefit from it in the open source software. There are some projects that have actually really good implementations for very specific routines, like MPlayer does, FFmpeg does, MMCoder has been Altivec optimized, giving really good performance. But these are all specific applications. In last September, I think it was, I watched the talk of Sergey Larkin in the Freescale SMDF. Yeah, SMDF, right? In Frankfurt. And I noticed how easy it is to actually program in using Altivec. This was the initial kickstart, so to speak, that enabled me to start working on Altivec. And I was really surprised by how quickly I could get fast performance out of just a small CPU like G4, which is, by today's standards, G4 is slow. But it's not slow if you can actually learn how to program it in the proper way. So, and I raised the question there, why can't we use Altivec enable the whole system, the whole operating system, to benefit from it. Right now, Altific is underused in Linux. It's practically non-used, only very specific applications. Why not benefit? And I asked Genesy, and which is the producing company of Pegasus, and Freescale, and they decided to fund this effort. And so far, I have quite a big list of applications and libraries that can be Altific optimized. I'm going to start with glibc. Basically, I've released a beta version of Altific optimized common routines like memcopy, string, swab, block move, anything. You are going to see the results soon. This library is eventually going to be integrated, well, hopefully at least, if we can convince the glibc maintainers to accept our patches, to glibc, which means that every user, every PowerPC G4 and G5 user will directly benefit from it, just by updating their package. I've also done Adler 32 hashing algorithm, which this particular one is used in DVEX encoding and also Z library. The BerkeleyDB hashing functions, sorting functions, as you will see, insertion sort, merge sort. These two, the first two, are already finished, and then working on quick sort. The results are really impressive, as you will see, soon. And on the to-do list, this is just a small list of what we could do. Basically, I encourage anyone who has some software that thinks would benefit from Altific optimization to just send me an email or just tell me an IRC. And eventually, maybe not me, but maybe someone else will work on it. So, how Debian can help? I mean, this is really, initially, it's not Debian's issue. It's really more upstream. But I found out that using Debian has enabled to learn to know the proper people that are responsible for each task. For example, Debian has very knowledgeable glibc people, and they were very friendly. And they basically told me that, yeah, if you can write something like that, and if we manage to resolve licensing issues, which are really no problem issue, because there is no company involved that has the copyrights or the trademarks, then it's quite easy to just transfer copyright, transfer the IP to the FSF, and then just include the patches into glibc itself. Also, Debian is, I think, in my opinion, it has one of the strongest PowerPC communities. They will directly give feedback about this optimization, whether they actually work or they are buggy or anything. And it will also make Debian de facto distribution for PowerPC users. Of course, since the patches are going to go upstream, eventually they will be found in other distributions as well. But I'm okay with Gen 2 going popular, but I mostly care about Debian. Right, so these are just a few numbers. I'm going to show you the actual results running in the system. Memcopy is almost 4 times faster. How is that possible? The Altific unit has 4 times the bandwidth of the integer unit with the cache on the CPU. Not with the actual memory bus. The actual memory bus is still 32 bit. Yes?
What's the size?
The size. The size depends on the. Sorry?
In this example, what's the size?
The size of the buffer, right?
Yeah.
Basically, you are restricted by the cache size.
Because my question is processor has a cache.
Yes.
Cache, so it depends if a cache is spilled out or insufficient of data,
mm-hmm.
so we need to bring data from
exactly.
memory. So you're four times faster or n times faster. It depends on the copying size.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can show the algorithms later.
The copying algorithm.
The
source code. Yes, I will show it later, yes. Maybe copy, yes. I should clarify this a little bit more. About memory copying, this was actually a lot of debate in some RSC channels. Basically, we try to benefit from Altivex pre-caching, well, cache fetching mechanisms. Before we try to copy the actual buffers, we try to prefetch it from the cache. The previous command just prefetches the next buffer to be copied. So this gives us a substantial benefit. Even for cold cache hits, you benefit from that, because by the time you try to copy this the buffer, the small chunk of data, you already have it on the cache. Even for cold cache, you have at least 20-25% speed increase. For hot cache, for data that is already in the cache, you have pretty much about this four times faster. So, of course, I should mention that Altivec is really useless on small amounts of data. I mean, it's not really. There's no point in using Altivec for just copying 8 bytes, right? But you have to work on, say, 1 kilobyte or 1 megabyte, then it's really worth looking at it.
Is the setup very expensive for using Altivec?
Not really.
So, what is the break point? When does it?
It depends on the case. For example, if you want to do sorting,
no, I mean
for mem copying,
mem copy.
I should say that around 90 bytes. 100 bytes is maybe even less. 64 bytes would be okay. So, memchr and string length. If you actually think about it, these instructions just check in small chunks of data if a particular byte is there. In memchr and string length is basically the same. One set is for an arbitrary byte, and string length checks for byte zero. Altivec offers one very convenient instruction. It just returns a boolean. Is the byte X, does the byte X exist in this 16 byte vector? Yes or no? Which is very convenient. You can just take 16 bytes at a time, look at the code, look at the data, ask Altivec to check if the byte 0 is there, and if it's there, then you can find the position with other scalar things. But this is still faster than going up the scalar way from the start. Memset, it's about 10 times faster for small size. I should clarify this. If you go for every instruction, basically, if you go over the cache, outside the cache, the speed gains drop, of course.
Very much, I guess.
Well, it depends on the algorithm. For example, with sorting, it really doesn't matter if you have 1 megabyte or 100 bytes, because this is an algorithmic modification that is much more fundamental than the actual architecturalization. But this algorithmic optimization is not possible without Altivec, so I should consider these two very strongly connected. I don't know which of you know the memfrob function. It's a C function basically that does an XOR. You give it a buffer, it XORs a buffer with the value 42. Just that. Well, it was a joke function, and I tried to see if it could actually be vectorized and what would be the gain. Since the original C function, C scalar code, does a byte per byte basis, it takes a byte, XORs with 42, and puts the byte back. This does it all the time. With Altivec, it was about 24 times faster. swap. Swap is very important for byte swapping. It can be used, for example, for switching data from one architecture to another. For example, from PowerPC to Intel or AMD. It's used for writing out audio sleeves. It's one of the functions that you use to write audio sleeves. Hashing algorithms. These are algorithms that are used. The particular ones that I vectorized are exactly the hashing algorithms that are used in the Berkeley DB library. Because of the nature of the Berkeley DB library, I wasn't actually really able to benchmark. So I don't know, but I know how fast the algorithms are. I should write here that also I'm working on vectorizing the MySQL hashing algorithm. It's a little more tricky, but I think it will work eventually. I mean, all these functions, all these algorithms, basically are part of one family, one whole family of hashing functions. If you vectorize the family, then you can basically just throw anything. I mean, I will show you in a few moments. Adler32 is the hashing algorithm that is used in Z library to check for checksums. Of data, of chunks of code. You give it a chunk of code, it produces a hash, and then it checks the hash with the one you've given it. If it's the same, then okay, go on, fetch me the next set of data. The Artifact version is 2.5 times faster, and it is only that with, I would say, with just the first implementation. I suppose I could make it even faster, but I thought, okay, 2.5 is okay for the first try. Maybe afterwards someone else will see it and find that, okay, you can do this and this is more clever way. The Z library, after profiling the library, or actually a utility of the library, meaning GZ, which uses it to, it's a GZ replacement basically. I profiled it and found about 6 functions that would benefit from vectorization, that were very time consuming. I quite easily vectorized 2 of these, the others were more tricky to do, and the benefit was about 25% faster. Well, it was not a huge difference, but 25% is 25%. And this is my favorite one. I think this is probably one of the largest performance gains from Altivec. I'm going to show you the exact algorithm later and the actual benchmark running on the system. So, I don't know if you can actually see this. This is the exact memcopy benefit. This is the scalar. This is not very visible, is it? Right. Supposedly there's a red line coming here. Going like that. It's approximately 1 gigabyte per second, the bandwidth of the system. Well, with Altivec, you go like that. For very small sizes, until this is the 20,000, approximately here, in about 256 kilobytes, approximately here. The cache is the level 2 cache sizes are smaller than the actual size that I'm trying to copy. So I should see the performance going like that, asymptotically to the scalar version. But for small sizes, until 60 kilobytes, which is the size of the level 1 cache, you have 4 times the speed. After that, the performance drops, but it's still faster. I've had some very recently. I have had Marcin Kurek, a guy from Morpho Westing, who uses to ask me to use these functions in Morpho West. Morpho West is another operating system which follows the Amiga OS way of. Direction. I mean, it is compatible in some ways with the Amiga OS, and I don't know exactly how MorphOS works, but I know that he used it. He used this function since he found actually that the performance is as mentioned. So even for small stuff that you don't really want to work on vectorizing, I mean, you can just, you don't care about vectorization, you just want your code to go faster. You could use some of these functions or that are already made and plug it in your code, just relink and use it.
So this is the insertion. Is it visible? Yeah. Basically, supposedly, sorry? Yes?
Okay.
Yeah.
If size is increasing, then the blue line will be dropped to red line?
Yes, eventually, yes, it will.
Uh-huh.
But even so, there will be, just because of the caching, cache prefetching mechanism, there will be a slight benefit, even for that reason.
Instead, if we introduce prefetching function into red line, the normal main CPU, we can achieve more?
Not really, because if it's already in the cache, you don't benefit. If the data is already in the cache, if you try to prefetch it, then the operation is a no operation, basically, it's no. And it does nothing, it just wastes one cycle. But on the whole, if you know that your data will be on the cache, you don't need to do prefetching. You waste one instruction. But for generic use, you don't know that your code will stay. There's no guarantee that your data will stay in the cache. So it's wise to actually use prefetching, in most cases at least. Yes?
So the basic speedup is actually
right
behind
that? Yes, basically.
Mm. Well, it seems to be a lot of effort that's true for the big size, but for the size of what stays in cache, you have much more speed because you have 4 times the cache bandwidth.
Mm.
Yeah, the point is, I'm actually interested in why the GDIPS and memcopy function will not be able to utilize the cache.
It does utilize the cache, but it doesn't utilize half of it.
Yeah.
That's the point. I mean, I'm going to show you the benchmarks.
Yeah.
If you, yes?
Another point of this is that Altivec has the possibility to bypass the cache, no?
Yes, but this is...
And that means that if you do a memcopy of a huge bit of steam with just the CPU, you just empty the cache of any useful data for other program.
That's so.
While using Altivec, you keep the useful thing in cache.
Yes. There's the cache controlling is one of the more advanced techniques of gaining more performance, but it's quite tricky to work for
trying to understand the huge rise around the 15,000 bytes.
15,000 bytes is 16 kilobytes is the size of the L1 cache, the level 1 cache.
Yeah,
but
that's an Altivec feature. So
yes, it is. The Altivec unit has 4 times. It has 128 bits bus to the cache, the level 1 cache. Whereas the integer unit has a 32-bit bus to the cache. So this is actually a 4 times speed increase. This is precisely the reason.
Okay, but why does it drop later on then?
Because the memory bus, the 128-bit memory bus, the 128-bit bus is not to the memory, but to the cache. If the data is not in the cache, it has to fetch it, and you lose cycles this way. So, whether you like it or not, the performance drops.
Yeah, the performance increase is only in theory, then?
No, it's not in theory. As I said, mostly, most times, the code, well, the data you're trying to do, to work on, is partly in the cache. And the prefetching is done, but not on all the data.
Yeah, if we stay with the memcopy example, basically, I think the test case at hand is memcopying the same
area of memory to another space over and over again.
Yes, this, the benchmarks, well, I'm going to explain how to later how the benchmarks work, but since you brought the subject, I tried to do two ways of benchmarking this code. One was trying to work on set on data that is all the times in the cache.
Yeah.
This is the four times speed increase. The next method was would be to take a huge array, a huge set of data, and then randomly pick pick data buffers, and then try to copy one to another. Randomly, I knew that they were not in the cache.
Yeah.
Even then, the performance increase was substantial, more than two times.
Yes, I'm just wondering. Well, the point is that in those low areas, everything can be written to the cache. I think you are basically missing the actual writing of the cache.
No, not really. You don't. Once you send the once you store data back to the destination address, then it's the responsibility of the CPU to actually copy the data from the cache to the memory bus.
Yeah, but it's unspecified when this will happen. It will happen on the next memory bus, or
yeah. You don't know that.
Basically, since you don't know when this will happen, you don't see it in the benchmark. And as you override the same area of memory again and again and again. So basically, the big speed increase is not actually writing the data from the memcopy.
As I said, if you work on small sets of data.
Yeah.
Consider this example. You're working with block sizes,
yeah.
Disk block sizes, and try to copy one to the memory and maybe process it and then write it back. And then you do it all over again. If you were doing it, of course, you have to load the code in the data in the cache, process it, then store it back in the cache. The CPU will find out that it needs more. This data has been written, has been stored, so it's not really useful anymore to the main code, to the main loop. So it has to free it to load another block. This process really benefits from Antivec. The process, I don't know if you know Martin from IRC, Melkor. Okay, Melkor is his nickname. He uses this code on the file system he writes for MorphOS. And it proved to be actually worth it. I mean, he did see performance increases. I don't use MorphOS myself, so I don't know how it benefits from that. But anyway. So, shall I move to the next one? Right. The insertion sort algorithm. I don't want to go to details of the algorithm, but I basically say that it's an O big O n square algorithm. So if you have this is a buffer, a sequence. Okay, and you load it. If you were working on it in a scalar way. You would just see this as a complete sequence, right? You would place bytes accordingly all over the sequence. So you would have to work on, this is our 4 times 16, 64 bytes. Okay, so you would have 64 square maximum iterations to perform, to sort everything using this algorithm. Using Antivec, I load this thing in the registers, this is a 16 bytes, so I just load 16 bytes at a time. And I have four Antivec vectors. I try to use every byte in the vector as a column. So I sort everything in parallel. I sort 16 columns in parallel. This is quite easily done using Cultivec. The code is quite fast. I'm going to show it to you, and of course, the code will be free, software, GPL, probably, I don't know. And after you have sorted all the columns, you still have the burden of merging everything back together into one single piece of data, sorted data. So, the next step was to take all these sorted columns, as you can see, and put them back together into one single piece. What was the problem? All the merge algorithms I had found in Google, using Google, they were all about having two sets of sorted data. I couldn't find a generic merge algorithm that would take n sets of sorted data. So I had to write my own. Basically, it was an extension of the existing one. Again, the algorithm is, I've just finished a paper on on insertion sort and the merge sort, where I explained the exact algorithm of the generic merge sort. So, integer sort is up to 54 times faster for 138 keys of characters. But of course, the situation is different. Slightly different if you have short integers or 32-bit integers. But if you have to sort 100,000 characters, bytes, then this algorithm is... I'm going to show you the results soon.
But isn't that... the most cases where you use insertion sort is as part of quick sort when the partitions are really small, and if there is a setup penalty for using Altivec operations, then it would defeat the whole purpose.
At first I thought so myself, but I've done, even for the smallest case I could use Altivec on, it was 32 bytes. Just two vectors, to take these two vectors and just sort one column of two elements, or 16 columns of two elements, two rows basically, and then use merge sort on that to produce the actual sort of this sequence. Even this one was actually faster. It produced less, more or less the same number of iterations, but for that kind of sizes, you don't really care if you lose some milliseconds. Mm. I mean, yes, Altivec does have a higher overhead to use than proper, just a normal scale code, because you need to prepare the registers and masks and whatever. But for sizes that are bigger than, say, 256 bytes, then the 256 square is quite a significant number.
But you don't use insertion sort, though.
Yeah, you mean in general?
Yeah.
There are some times that where insertion sort is faster than quick sort. Basically, this whole deal started when I saw an article in Slashdot about using the GPU to sort elements. A GPU version of quicksort, and I thought, heck, why not try Altivec? Would we have any benefit from it? And then I tried to see what are the most common and used algorithms. One is quicksort, but quicksort has a disadvantage. It is not a stable sort algorithm. Insertion sort is one of the most common, and it is stable. And it's actually very useful when you have almost sorted data. I mean, you have some data and you insert some other data in the middle, but the previous data was already sorted. Quick sort on that is very slow. I've tried that.
It depends on what partition algorithm you use. If you use a good partition algorithm, mm-hmm. Have really good speed on pre-sorted data as well.
True, but then you I've noticed that all the partition algorithms that are performance are offering good performance, basically they are, so how to say, focused on specific sorts of data, maybe totally random data that needs to be sorted or already sorted data. If you want to replace a very common routine in the kernel or in the glibc, you have to be generic now. And quick sort is not considered to be the fastest routine. It's considered to be the most efficient in a generic way. This is why it's so popular. But there are cases where another function, where another algorithm is faster.
Yeah.
And anyway, the next step is to vectorize quicksort itself. I mean, just do the parallel quicksorts using using Cultivec, then using again merge sort to put everything back together. So this was, in my estimate, I think it will be about 400% in speed increase because of what you're trying, what you do, because the sizes would be n over four. Four times lower. Right. It's useful. In a few months, we expect to have Altivec code in glibc for people to test. At least very few common functions, maybe not everything. But so far, we've finished about 15. Next thing is that library. As I said, I've already done some initial work on libmcrypt, which is mostly used for encryption code. STL, I don't know which of you know the Mac port of STL, which uses Altivec, Mac STL, which is non-free software, unfortunately. One idea is to try to convince the author to release this as free software code and integrate it in some way into back into the in the STL standard library. It offers similar results. For example, sort is about 10 times faster, and it would really be fun to see how normal applications that use C++ would benefit from it. LibDV, which is an encoding library for digital video, etc. The list is really long. I have on my other computer. And yes?
What's the impact on context switches?
Sorry?
What's the impact
context switches? Well, to tell you the truth, no one has actually measured that. I've asked so many times in the PowerPC development, kernel teams, and they said, yeah, we don't know. Basically, they think it's higher, but it's supposed to be higher, but the benefit, in my opinion, the benefit would be worth it.
There is the BF save register. Which
Linux doesn't use that.
Yeah, I know.
Only, I think only macOS does.
They use it in macOS?
I think they do.
The BF save register is a register which allows you to say we modify these registers and say this
register. Basically, so far they haven't used it at all because well, no one actually uses Altivec extensively to care much about context switching. But once you start to use in a system-wide way, then it's probably going to be significant to at least look at it. And I have some links here. Ars Technica has a very, very good article about how G4 and Altivec works in general. This is a free-scale presentation about a tutorial on Altivec, basically, which is really what got me started. It's really very nice, very well done. And, of course, Penguin PPC has very good links. PPC Zone is a very popular, very active forum of PowerPC users and fans. I also have some papers with some Altivec example code in this in my account in Debian, and that's the end of it. I think we have barely enough time. Yes.
Have you seen that Linux has a version control system called Git, and then somebody contributed some PPC Altivec code for
Cochrane,
Sharp and Sun, and they seem to be very enthusiastic about making it very fast.
No, I didn't. I haven't heard that.
Okay, it's in the source tab of Git, and that seems to be very optimized, and it looks like it's probably in Altivec in assembler.
Wow, okay. We have to probably ask you the link afterwards.
It's a similar question, but do you use Altivec in user one to kernel one copy?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time we consume user one to kernel time copy, for example, hard disk access, data read write. TCP/IP and so on. So using Altivec in that communication, we can achieve more performance.
Exactly. There have been many articles especially by Freescale on this particular subject, because you can combine with Altivec, you can combine the checksum code and the copying, the actual copying, and you have. I've seen many documents and many papers on this particular. I think it's very, very well stressed that you can benefit from it, and you can actually use the G4 CPU for, say, even gigabit switches, which is not, as I understand, although I'm not an expert in the field, the actual Linux kernel right now is not really the most efficient operating system for very fast network packet switching. But I think in this way we can, I think this puts the PowerPC in a very different perspective, especially with companies who work on and produce network switches and network gear.
Right, I think we barely have enough time to mix it and so on. Is the phone visible?
Yes.
Okay. This one. Cool. This is not. No.
I have to use.
Right. No. Yeah. VGT Mango. Right. So this is the case with very small sizes, with cold caskets. And this is the different alignment. The alignment of source and destination buffers. I know this doesn't really look impressive, but for sizes of 13 bytes, it's very difficult to get an actual benefit from Altivec right now. Once the sizes start to grow, this will start to get higher. And right now, I'm not doing a very good job of
I think
that
small size still has a still pretty large
product. Yeah. Yes, because the sizes are really small right now. But it starts to get higher. But let me try to make this a little better. This is cold cache. Right. Yeah.
the civil wars. Mm.
I think it's still pretty much overhead. Can you start from a
bigger size?
Want to show the one we beat out the different alignment things?
Yeah.
Sorry, but
next talk, we're
already
ready. So we have to finish?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll be smoky, and we can, if everyone wants to discuss and show you your actual code. Thank you very much. And, well.
Thank you.
So, thank you. Shut down. Thanks.